Can you wave? Say hi. Hi. So we're recording this on Saturday pizza night, but it's Sunday morning and welcome to worship.
Thank you for that wonderful welcome, Olson family. That was wonderful. Our pizza nights look exactly the same, except I'm the one covered in the sauce, so it works out well. Welcome to worship on this beautiful snowy Sunday, this Valentine's Day. It is wonderful to have you all with us at worship wherever you are, whether it's Chicago or Georgia or Florida or Boston. It is great to have you with us. My name is Mitchell Hay, and it is my good pleasure to pastor at the Essex Center United Methodist Church.
And I'm Barb Lemmel, and I attend Essex Center and am married to Mitch and work for the conference, and it's good to be with you all this morning.
It is Valentine's Day, and I encourage you to go online and look a little bit about the history. There are many different legends about how this day came to be, and all of them are delightful. But we're here thinking about not just the love between humans, but the love of God for all of us and how we can reflect that love and be transparent to that love with and for one another in this fragile world, this fragile creation, and all the fragile and beautiful human connections that we're called to be a part of. So I invite you to begin worship. If you got our bulletin, either through email or on the Facebook page, we invite you to look at the call to worship that is in your bulletin. This comes from a worship resource from Catherine Hawker. And you can join us responsibly. I'll do the bold type.
Okay. So let's join. Where have we seen the light of God? We have seen the light of God.
On the high mountains of celebration and in the ecstasy of a lover's embrace.
We have seen the light of God.
Through the bitter scorn of betrayal and the searing chasm of grief.
We have seen the light of God.
With eyes that have been shaded, with eyes that have been opened, with eyes that have been blinded.
We have seen the light of God.
We have seen the light of God. Amen. The reading from Scripture today goes along with our Christian holiday of Epiphany. This is the last week of Epiphany, and this is called Transfiguration Sunday. Transfiguration comes from the same Greek root word that we get metamorphosis from. And all through the season of Epiphany, we've been looking at the slow unveiling of the reality of who Jesus is in our readings from Mark's gospel. And in today's reading, we see in this scene of light and transfiguration and transformation, the disciples get a real glimpse of who Jesus is, his deep divinity, as their eyes are opened to that light. Our opening to God time is a prayer by Stephen Collins, and it asks us how it is that we react to divine light. So I invite you to prepare yourselves to be in prayer. I invite you to take a deep breath in, fill your lungs with oxygen, and breathe out. Breathe in, and so it's the very Spirit of God filling you. and breathe out all that separates us from God and one another. Breathe in, becoming fully present here. And breathe out all that distracts. And take a moment to listen. How do you feel when the dark goes out? Are you afraid of the light? Does it make your lies water? Do you screw up your heart and hide under the covers? The light is a flood that will level your landmarks to a plain, leaving you no shelter or familiar territory. It will carry away the house of your comfortable darkness and give you only holy ground to stand on. It will fall like a stone upon you. You will be the only thing that casts a shadow, but your shadow will flee behind you where you cannot see it. You will grope for definition like a climber in the fog. Your hands will search for edges that tell you what is and what is not, and you will not find them. You will cling to frozen certainty for fear of falling. Your map will be too small. The light will burn your skin. The light will bleach your bones. The light will leave you snowblind, and you will not be the same. I love this poem because it is it's an antidote to our sometimes soft, fuzzy conceptions of how we connect with God, where it's always ease and gentle. And sometimes the light is such that we cry out with the prophet Isaiah, "Woe is me." This is big stuff being illuminated to our very core by the light and the love of God. The assurance in the midst of it is that God loves us through all of it. On this Valentine's Day, we have a lovely Valentine's Day message for our young people from Danielle and Mead and their children. Take it away, Danielle.
All right, so what holiday is this week?
Valentine's Day.
Tomorrow, or Sunday. They're watching that today. So today's Valentine's Day on the camera. So I want, what are all of these things called?
Cards.
And who do we give them to?
People we love and like.
How about you each pick one out and read one? All right, Emmett, you want to start?
Mine says, all we really need is love. But a little chocolate now and then doesn't hurt.
So some are funny. What does yours say, Anne?
Valentine, you're the best. For real.
What does it have on the front? What's on the front?
A dog.
A dog, a little puppy. For real. Go ahead, Alan.
It's Valentine's. It's Valentine's Day. This little greeting is sent your way to say hello on Valentine's Day. Have a happy day.
Nice. All right, I got this one. It says, although I know you love me not, and often we have argued and fought, this note of love I send to you, it's what Jesus would have me do. Although you've hurt and caused me pain, I refuse to do the same. Though you may not return my love, the love I give comes from heaven above. Now, what's different about this card?
Rhyming.
It's rhyming.
And it's about God.
It's about God.
It's not what was really in the card.
That's not really what was written in the card, yep. was it to? Is it to someone who loves us like all of these?
No.
No, who was it to?
Someone who does not love us.
Someone who doesn't really like us.
At all.
They've been mean to us or they've hurt our feelings. Sometimes, is it easy to love people like that?
No.
No, it can be really hard. Yeah, totally hard. So, Matthew 5, chapter 5, verse 44 says, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who hurt you." So those were our directions from God. And if we think of what Jesus did, Jesus was kind of like a giant Valentine from God.
Wow.
He was sent from heaven. Kind of like we get things sent in the mail. He came down and he was here to show us how much God loved us. He was even for people who didn't really show him love back. So if we're going to act like that, it's our job to show people love, even if they're not showing us love, even if they're our enemies. It's our job to love them. So can we say a prayer? Come on over. God of love, help us to love everyone, even our enemies. Work through us to show everyone how much they are loved by you on Valentine's Day and every day. Amen.
Amen.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Sturgeons. That was lovely and terrific. And you have very sharp-eyed kids there, Danielle. Our gospel reading today comes from the 9th chapter of Mark. It's the traditional reading for Transfiguration Sunday. And it will be read today by Brody, who will share his voice and heart.
Good morning. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus.
Thank you, Brody.
So, in today's reading from Mark, Jesus brings just three disciples with him up to the mountaintop. And it's Peter, and it's James, and it's John. And they go up to the mountain to pray. And on that day, the disciples witness Jesus in this startling, wild, new way. Jesus' face is changed. His clothes became dazzling white, and Jesus appears in the company of two of the great heroes of the Jewish faith, Moses, the giver of the law, kind of the beginning of the faith journey of a people of Torah, and Elijah, who was seen as the one who would come to announce the Messiah. And so he symbolizes the completion of the Torah faith. For the three disciples, this transforming epiphany was a privileged vision, a spiritual mountaintop experience. And they had some different ways of responding to it. And we might learn a little bit today about how they responded and how we might respond 2,000 years later.
And one of the things that's so interesting to me about this transfiguration experience is the words that come from the cloud, right? That say, this is my beloved, my son. And we've heard those words or similar words before. The very first Sunday of Epiphany is the mm-hmm. Sunday where we read the story of Jesus' baptism mm-hmm. before his ministry started. And as he comes up out of the water, a dove descends and he hears the words, you are my son, the beloved, with whom I'm well pleased. Or in some gospels, the crowd hears that. So this echoes again, those same words, you are my beloved, this is my beloved, you are my son. Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if he heard those words again, because this is the time when he was going to need that as the bedrock reality for who he is. He needed that existential reassurance of who he was and whose he was. Mm-hmm. You are my beloved, my own. I am pleased with you.
I'm guessing that he remembered those words all the way through up to this point in his mm-hmm. ministry, that there would have been times, especially at the end of a really long or bad day, mm-hmm. when the disciples were clueless and people were just coming to him for bread, where yep. he must have said to himself, I am your beloved, I am your son, with you I'm well pleased. And it's almost like this is an extra reminder. Don't forget.
It's like the second dose of COVID. Right. That's when you really need right. to get, because he's going to need immunity in a sense.
Yes.
From all the opposition in Mark's gospel. And this is where the opposition begins as right. they come back down from the mountain. This is where things are going to start getting tough. It's not just gentle days up in Galilee anymore. It's he starts butting heads with the powers and the principalities.
So it's almost like God knows he needs an extra dose, right? Mm-hmm. Of you are my beloved. And at the same time, the words aren't just for him. They're for the disciples too. These three yeah. disciples that yeah. Jesus brings up with him.
In Mark's gospel at the baptism, the words are, you are my beloved. These are words to Jesus as he comes up out of the water and the Spirit comes down upon him. Here it's in the third person. This is my beloved son. This mm-hmm. is, these are words for
the disciples.
For the disciples, absolutely. And so those are words of comfort, I'm sure, but more so, there's also words of challenge, because the second half is, listen to him.
Right, so in those first words, the disciples would have been like, we knew he was the Messiah.
Got it,
He's the beloved son. And while they're basking in that, then they hear, listen to him already.
Right.
But the already didn't get in the Bible, but you know it was there.
And this, just like with your mother, this does not mean auditory attention. It right. means to obey love rather than ego. It means to follow the example of the Word made flesh and not what those in authority and power say to do. So this is like that time when you really messed up and your friends or your mom say, why didn't you listen to me? It's not saying why didn't you hear it? It's why didn't you follow an example or some wisdom that was set before you? Why didn't it change the way you did the way you live?
And in that sense, I think the words are also for us, right? So it's
amen.
Okay.
Yes.
So you believe in God, you're following this Jesus person, mm-hmm. right? Listen. Act like it. Do the things you need to do to be a follower of Jesus.
Yeah.
So it's to the disciples and it's to us as well.
This is where God is saying to the modern church, which for many Christianity just means, oh, I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I got my golden ticket to heaven and I'm done. No, listen to him. Right. This is not a golden ticket. This is a new way of life and living, a new way of being and doing. Listen to him, follow him.
And we're in the middle of our 11th, maybe 12th month of COVID. Mm-hmm. Church is officially shut down on March 15th, and tomorrow is February 15th. So I guess tomorrow we start the 12th month, right? It's been long. It's driven us deep many of us to what is it that's most important? What is it that's most central? It's driven us to online worship, to figuring out ways to be community, even when we can't be together in community, all of those things. It's really asked us, what is it that sustains us? And so in the midst of this time, we've been thinking about what's the transfiguration message for us. And so we've been playing around with what are those two, you know, if the words to Jesus and the disciples on that mountain are words of comfort, this is my beloved son, and words of challenge, listen to him. It's made us wonder what is for us the words of comfort and what is for us the words of challenge. I call this the rubber hits the road words, right? So for some of us, it's verses of scripture. What are those scripture words that when your back's against the wall, that's the phrase that keeps you solid, right? That's what reminds you that God's in this with you. But it's not necessarily just scripture, right? Sometimes
there's lots of places.
A phrase of a song or something your mom always used to say, or your grandfather told you.
Or a movie line.
A movie line, right? There's no crying in baseball, right?
Or is there someone has to have a Mary Oliver poem, that does this for them. So whatever that is, a Bible verse, a song lyric, a movie line, that is your go-to verse for comfort and for challenge.
Challenge or courage.
Courage.
Yeah.
The thing that stretches you to go a little bit more. We're wondering if you might spend a couple of minutes thinking about what those are for you. And we could share ours.
So what we'd love you to do is to think about what's that back against the wall verse or phrase or whatever, and what's the phrase that kind of gets you up on your feet and keeps you moving forward. And to put those in the comments on the Facebook Live or on the Facebook page, and we'll share those. And while you're thinking, I'm going to ask Mitch. Mitch.
Yes.
What's your comfort verse or your comfort phrase?
Well, my comfort phrase is also a challenge, and my challenge phrase is also a comfort. So I guess they're both kind of mixed. My comfort phrase that is a challenge, because it's given to Isaiah to tell to the people, is comfort, comfort my people. And it's both comforting to hear those words from God, but also it's a call for him to share the good news to a people who are feeling hopeless, a people in exile, far away from home, that there is good news to come. And that's also really hard to share when all the newspaper headlines say everything is hopeless, to go against that dominant narrative, to say, no, there is comfort, there is reassurance, there is return, there is home.
So for you, it's the same, it's really the same verse.
Yes,
it does both comfort, of those things for you.
And my normal, my challenge verse is also comfort, where Micah tells the people that God has shown you what is required of you. So there's a, oh no, what is it? But what it is, oh, we can do that. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly. These are things we can do when we get the ego out of the way and follow love. So that is both challenging and comforting for me as well. Well, again, if you have a chance, be writing these in our comment section. And I see folks are doing that. Thank you.
So for me, my comfort verse is always from Romans 8. All things work together for good for those who love God.
Who are called according to God's
purpose. Who are called according to God's purpose, right? So it's that too is a comfort and a challenge, both. And then another verse for me is from Psalm 1, where it talks about how good are people who are deeply rooted in God, and that they're like trees planted by streams of water, and their leaves don't wither, and they bear fruit in season. And in the NRSV, the the translation we usually read, it says, and in all that they do, they prosper. But one year I read it in a different translation. It said, and in all that they do, they give life.
Mm.
And that the piece about being planted by streams of water and their leaves do not wither has always been a comfort statement for me.
Mm-hmm.
But when I heard that, and in all that they do, they give life.
That's a challenge.
That was a challenge. Mm. That said to me, okay, this is what you're supposed to do in the world. You're supposed to, in everything you do,
yeah,
may it give life. And I remember being so excited and going to other people and saying, I just got this great message from God, right? That what I'm supposed to do is give life. And what was so funny was that people kept going, okay. I was like, no. Like, this is my message from God. This is my calling. This is what I'm on the planet for, to give life. And they're like, we're glad for you, honey. And I kept feeling like, wait, did I miss something? And then what it made me realize was, it's not their line. It's not their challenge, right?
Sure. So it's not going to resonate.
The verse that just opens our hearts up or completely comforts us or gets us out in the world with Jesus, it's for us, right? And there's different verses for other people, or sometimes even if folks have the same verse, they have it for different reasons, right? Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
Yes, it is.
Oh, so some of you are already putting pieces in here. I'm going to grab a Bible. Go ahead and share some of these.
Let me share some of these with you all. So for Julia, she finds value in A Course in Miracles with Marianne Williamson. And this too shall pass. Things always work out as they are supposed to if you can be patient and trust, with Sharon.
From Paula, Philippians 4:13, I'm able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Hmm. Donna Paffrath has a song called It Starts Right Here from Casting Crowns.
And Brody too, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's a marvelous, marvelous verse. Wow.
Nancy comes in with a piece from Mary Oliver. I'll just tell you this. If there are angels in your head, will you ever possibly
only
see, if there are angels in your head, will you ever possibly see one?
Catherine shares the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me down to lie. He leads me through pastures beside clear waters. He restores my soul.
Mm. So Sally.
Sally Jablonski shares Jeremiah 29:11. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not to harm, to give you a future with hope.
Narda lifts up Philippians 4, and from her mom, always leave a place better than how you found it. I'm not sure I recognize the Philippians piece.
Allison shares, we are not alone. And from Sharon, love is the only thing that matters, that her mom told her.
Northa writes us from Chicago, cease striving and know that I am God. That's a great translation. We usually used to be silent, but that is that's wonderful. Dana LeClaire writes, you always had the power, my dear. You just had to learn it for yourself. From Glinda, the Good Witch.
Absolutely.
Karen Scala writes that Isaiah 18 and 19 are her go-to. We probably won't read all of that, but thank you, Karen.
And from Brooke, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Thank you, Brooke.
So wonderful. Thank you all. And feel free to keep putting pieces in. And our hope is that some of this will... it'll keep popping up for you as you go through the day.
So part of what we found really valuable as we were examining our Mark reading today was those comfort and challenge verses, and how for many of us those are really built into our DNA. Oh, Alyssa, where love is, there God is. Yeah. But we also see something in the way Peter behaves up on the mountaintop that is also built into us.
Yeah, that's right.
Not so positive, which is having experienced this mountaintop experience, what he wants to do is stay there. He wants to preserve it. He wants to stay on the mountaintop and preserve the experience. He says, and it took a while before I kind of got the hang of what this meant. He goes, it's so good we're here, Jesus. Let us make some huts for you. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Because what he's wanting to do is let's all stay up here. Let's all be part of this amazing experience.
So I'm so sure that if this happened now, mm-hmm. Peter would say, it is so good I brought my selfie stick. Let's take a picture of this. Right? Everybody get in, lean. Come on, look at the camera, not at your picture.
Yeah. Barb and I have a lot of literal mountaintop selfie shots. We don't own a selfie stick, but we have on top of the mountain. Whenever we hike a mountain in the greens or the whites, there's a goofy picture of us smiling on the top.
Because when you get to the top, you want to take a picture that you got there. And so I totally get this with Peter. I think it's just what we naturally do. This is amazing. Let's stay with it.
Right. But the gospel is pretty harsh on Peter here. It says, actually, he's kind of gentle.
I think it's harsh.
Peter didn't know what he was saying, for he was terrified. The original Greek actually says, because Peter was a bonehead. actually, it says that all the time for Peter.
Because that's not, the point isn't staying there, right? The point is they have to go down. And that's what Jesus says to them. This is an amazing experience. You've seen me with Moses. I mean, he doesn't actually say this in the reading, but you've seen me with Moses and Elijah. You've heard God's voice. Now we have to go back down the mountain and go back and go into regular life. And it's not about preserving it as it is. Mm-hmm. It's about taking it into ourselves and letting it transform us.
Right.
Which again is the piece about those scriptures, right? So it's not just the wonderfulness of your comfort verse, your challenge verse. It's how does that come into you and transform you? How does it come into me and transform me? How do I live when I remember it? And I don't always remember it, but God sends reminders to me too, just like the Transfiguration.
Right. So while Peter might want to make a memorial or put up a plaque or do a selfie video, they're sent back down to the mountaintop, or from the mountaintop, down back into the real world, to their regular living, to their regular callings. They had to go back down. There were healings to accomplish. There were teachings to share. There was a kingdom of God to announce, to bring forth and live. They were called to go back to not their previous lives before meeting Jesus, but their transformed lives that they knew in Jesus. But something further changed. They were not allowed to codify it into a hut or into anything concrete or metal or video. They needed to change internally. So in order to go back to doing the work that they were called to do, they had to go forward inside themselves. Hearts had to change. They had to go back by going forward.
And part of that is the big epiphanies, right? Those are the things that really kind of crack us open and, mm-hmm. whoa, okay, I'm going to be different. I'm going to try to be different now. Mm-hmm. But one of the things they're called to do as they go down the mountain and into the rest of their life with mm-hmm. Jesus is not just the big epiphanies, but also to pay attention to the little epiphanies. What are the small ways that God is here with us. The little healings, the sustenance, the belovedness of each and every day, the beauties that we can see, the care that we provide. What are those things and how do we take those into ourselves? Mm. So we're not going to try to capture it. We're going to stay loose and open and receiving and watching. So that wonderful line from Mary Oliver about only if you have angels inside you are you going to see them, mm-hmm. right? So once we've had an experience of transfiguration, then we can start to see little transfigurations all over the place.
Yeah. I think of what it must have been like to watch how Jesus did the small things that we don't get in the gospel, that we get hints of, like Jesus having this syncopation of rest and being alone and apart and then coming back to do ministry. I want to know what was it like when Jesus got up? What was breakfast like? What were the small interactions? Was he grumpy in the morning before his coffee? Those little things are just to see how a person who lived completely in relationship with God, completely connected with both the divine within himself and the human within himself, how he connected, and how living out of that love and that connection, he created community. In a million different little ways that aren't recorded in scripture.
So how did that big light on the top of the mountain dazzle out of him mm-hmm. in everyday life?
In the small ways. Things that some people could see and some people couldn't see. But again, it's not about preserving an experience. It's about creating a new community, about being letting yourself be transformed on the top of the mountain to bring it down, to build a new community that is different. It's allowing it to transform and transfigure us. And that's why we do this faith stuff in community. If we do it by ourselves, we are in a sense trying to preserve the mountaintop experience. It's when we bring...
You are much harder on Peter
than he needs.
I think Peter's just a guy. He's just doing the best he can. It's not about trying to preserve everything. Mm-hmm. But I think we do it in community because we need everybody to get the fullness of the picture, right? Mm-hmm. So the Quakers say that everyone has a piece of the light of God.
Right.
And it's not until you get all together that you get more of the picture of who God is, because not everybody has it all at once. And one of the reasons that it's so wonderful to have you all share your comfort scriptures and your challenge scriptures, and I'm just going to say two more that have come in from Karen, forget the former things, don't dwell on the past, because I'm doing a new thing from God. And from Kathy, I look to the hills from whence cometh my help, right? So all together, that it's not the same scripture for all of us, though some of us share it. And so in community, we get a fuller vision of who God is and who God can be and who we are, what our place is in the midst of that. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus doesn't just be the Messiah by himself. He gathers 12 disciples and then a whole bunch of other people, particularly women, around that, right? And he shares in community with them because it's about more than just individuals. It's about more than just preserving this one experience for me. It's about sharing it with other people. Right. So it's not just you are the light of the world. It's y'all are the light of the world. All together, we're the light of the world.
When we gather together with all our different stories, all our different scriptures, all our different bedrock experiences, we become in a sense a canon. We become
and
a
when
living.
When you say canon, you don't mean a canon. We become
a living scripture.
So you're using a seminary word.
Right? I am. we become a living document that people can read by the way we live and the way we love out in community, among ourselves and within ourselves. We take that transformed experience and make it codified, canonized into authentic community.
Well, I was just saying, that's why we do church, mm-hmm. right? that's why the COVID stuff has been so so hard on communities, because we can't be together. That's why we've cobbled together this way for us to connect and be together in this online sort of way. And that's why we can't wait until we can get back together again, because yes, it's in community that we're created to be, and that we're created to be faithful.
We are like the tree that you talked about in Psalm 1 when we gather together.
Right.
Together, we put our roots down deep into the waters that give life, so that we can be life-giving,
sure,
for each other, and life-giving for the communities and the world around us.
And so our prayer for you and for us this last Sunday of Epiphany is, may you by all means have enormous epiphanies in your life. And may you also recognize the day-to-day-to-day epiphanies. And may you have folks with whom you can share those. And it won't spark their hearts the way it sparks yours. Mm-hmm. And that's how we all do ministry together. That's how we be God's people together. That's how God is revealed in us and through us.
So on this Valentine's Day, and this Transfiguration Sunday, we pray that it is love that transforms you inside and out, and transforms our communities inside and out, that we all may more and more resemble the God who is creator and redeemer and sustainer now and forever. Amen.
Amen. And we now have a message from June Packard about a real world epiphany for her. And then also some music from Catherine Parker. And if you have prayer concerns that you'd like to have us share during the pastoral prayer, please write those in the comments. Thank you.
Hi, church family. Thank you for welcoming me into your home for the God spotting moment today. Coming to you live from my basement office. This is June Packard. God spotting is something I think that happens to us more often than we realize. And it comes in all forms, all layers. It's just learning to recognize the God spotting. My God spotting moment today is actually going to be verse that I wrote for my mom's memorial service. I'll be the first to admit that I'm not a Amanda Gorman or a Mary Oliver. Far from it, but occasionally, rarely, but occasionally, a verse will come to me at a time when it seems to be really needed in my life or someone else's life. I had asked Barb, our pastor Barb, for a Mary Oliver book because I wanted to look through it to see if I could find a verse that was particularly poignant for my mom's memorial service, which was in August of 2020. I looked through it and nothing really spoke to me. Mom was clearly not a Mary Oliver person. You know, I searched other books, other passages, and it became clear with each passing day that perhaps I was meant to put verse together. I knew her very differently than other people knew her. And if I was going to do part of a eulogy for her, for her memorial service, certainly this was something that I thought I could do maybe perhaps the best. So anyway, as the days went by, nothing really came to me. And then one day, I sat down, and the words and the verse just sort of flowed out of me. It was sort of like a God-spotting moment, or a God-smacking moment. God saying to me, sit down, write this, write something for your mother about your mother. So I'd like to share with you the verse that I wrote for my mom's service, and hope that you enjoy it. It certainly speaks to a certain age group. I don't think of myself When I read this back, I don't think of myself as someone that I see. I don't see myself in this verse, but I do see my mother and my mother's generation in the verse that I wrote. So the title of this verse is A Gentle Woman. A gentle woman who sees no evil, whose heart is pure, whose love is deep, who overflows with tears and laughter. A gentle woman who bears the hurt and joy of children, who loves her soulmate, whose love is bountiful and multi-layered. A gentle woman who walks with God, whose heart overflows with faith, and who embodies the goodness of mankind. She moves through life yoked with a sense of never being enough, but always overflowing with compassion and love, never empty unless she is alone. She is betrayed by aging, old age, and then loss. But she is comforted by that loss and memories of loving friendships and family. When finally the gentle woman hears the call, rages with anger, faces come and go, tears of laughter, tears of sorrow, songs of homecoming. A gentle woman goes home. Thank you for letting me share this. I'm wishing you love. I'm wishing you help. And until we can all meet again and in our sanctuary, I'm sending you all hugs full of joy and the love of God.
Thank you, June, for that beautiful epiphany. And thank you, Catherine, for your music and the amazing photography you've been doing this winter with the snowflakes. And we'll enjoy some more of that during our postlude as well. Let's share with you some of the prayers that folks have lifted up as we pray as a community. I invite you to come into a place of prayer and openness and presence. Loving God, help us to listen to the one voice amid all the others, the voice that awakens something lovely in us, If we don't turn from this clanging world to listen to that voice, we won't hear it. Help us listen for the voice that calls us beloved and the voice that calls us to love. The voice that speaks of creation's wholeness and beckons us to completion. Help us listen to your voice that leads us toward others, not our own rising above and away. Let us listen to the song of the immense flowering within each one of us, the risk and the passion that we can dance to. We will hear it in stillness, not in frenzy. In silence, not in noise. We will hear it from those who are belittled, not those who are honored by this besotted world. Your voice will not speak of success, but of death and resurrection. Help us listen to your voice that speaks with hope and delight. We listen, oh God. We listen. We lift up prayers from Catherine, prayers for Brent and the Garrow family. He's in the hospital battling COVID. We pray with Jan as she's going through a major life change that she will adjust to living at Maple Ridge Memory Care. With Julia, we pray for the Allaires. Paul suddenly passed away 2 weeks ago, and our prayers are with Krista and Nick and Josh that they have all the help they need and can find some solace. With Marilyn, we offer up prayers of thanks for Becca completing her doctorate in physical therapy. Amen. We give thanks for June's lovely epiphany sharing. With Alyssa, we offer up prayers of thanks for this community of faith. And the care that they bring. We have a group of parishioners who've been sending out Valentines to all the children in the community, and it's pretty wonderful. With Sharon, we pray for our nation as we struggle forward in love. With Nancy McGuire, prayers for her brother-in-law, Ron, who just had surgery, and for her cousin, Larry, who is battling COVID in a hospital in Rhode Island. We lift up these prayers that we write, and we lift up the prayers we hold silent in our hearts to the God whose voice is love, to the God whose love came in flesh and the one who taught us how to love if we listen and follow, and who taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We have some announcements to let y'all know about. First, right after worship, we're going to have a Valentine's Day coffee hour after worship. And so, we'll have We'll have the address, the Zoom address will be in our comments section in just a couple of minutes. Jeremy can write that down for us. So I invite you to stay and get on Zoom. One of the things that is hardest about doing this on Facebook Live is we don't get to see all your faces. And so let's take a few minutes afterwards to share a bit. On Monday, February 15th, that's tomorrow, we're going to be doing a Bible study on the character of God. It's incorrect in the bulletin. The character of God we'll be studying is faithfulness, and the Zoom address is there. Tonight and all through Lent, I'm sorry, starting next week and all through Lent, Sundays in Lent will be a program called Roll Down Justice, doing anti-racism work in a spiritual bulletin. The virtual with a spiritual foundation. And the Zoom address is there. And all through Lent, I'm sorry, starting next
week. Anna, could you mute for a second? There we go. Thank you.
And then on Sunday, I'm sorry, on Wednesday, we're going to be participating in an ecumenical Ash Wednesday service at 7 o'clock, and the Zoom link is there. We'll be sharing with our brothers and sisters in faith in Jericho and Underhill. You can also take a look at the announcements about the food shelf needs. And we have birthdays this week for Ashley Heffernan and Lisa Kirchberg. So we give thanks for them. We also have a more profound announcement that we need to let you all know this Sunday, today. And Donna,
she needs to get back on our Zoom. I think we lost her.
Oh, did we lose Donna?
And so there's also an announcement from Alan Bilodeau.
Right. So the food shelf is in need of peanut butter and baked beans and cereals, instant oatmeal, but no Cheerios, we're told.
So. And thanks to all of you who've brought food for the little food pantry that's out in front of the church and for the folks who've been keeping it stocked and taking care of it that way.
The little food pantry has been utilized every day. And so we want to thank you for that.
Thank you. We have to do this.
All right. Here's Donna. Thank you, Donna, for getting, you found your way back on. So Jeremy is going to put you on to Facebook Live and share an announcement that's coming from the bishop.
Good morning, everyone. We have an important announcement to tell you. It's not an easy one. On Thursday, the DS, Jill Colley Robinson, called me to call a meeting of staff parish for yesterday, and we all met by Zoom with Jill and Mitch. And out of that came a very important announcement from our bishop, and I want to read that to you. Bishop intends to appoint Reverend Mitchell Hay as co-pastor with Reverend Barbara Lemmel to the Harvard Epworth United Methodist Church in Cambridge, Massachusetts, effective July 1st, 2021, and subject to the fulfillment of all the requirements needed for a successful transition by the pastor and the respective churches affected by the appointment. The appointment will be finalized at the 2021 annual conference session of the New England Conference. This was not an easy thing for us to hear, but not unexpected being a Methodist. Mitch and Barb have been here 14 years, the longest of any of our pastors. Their kids have grown up here. We've grown with them. Because of COVID, we do not know how we're going to say goodbye or what it will look like, but we're going to be able to do it somehow, some way. I do not know who the new pastor is yet. Jill will inform me as soon as she has found one that's compatible with us. And then our group will meet by Zoom to talk with that person. We're going to miss Mitch and Barb a lot, and we hate to see them go. And we're going to grieve, as we always have, with every pastor that we've become very close to. But we wish them all the luck and the best wishes for their future as co-pastors, which is a very new journey for both of them. And we'll welcome our new pastor with joy and excitement and what the future will hold with that pastor and his family. So Mitch and Barb are going to answer any questions or try to answer your questions at the coffee hour after. And I think Mitch and I will be sending out a letter about this, as well as he's going to be getting out a newsletter very soon, because there are many of you that are not on the computer. I don't like this news, but it's the best news that we could have, that they can be co-pastors together. That really made me very happy, because they are very good together. And the church that's getting them is much larger than ours. They have a bigger staff, and I wish them all the luck in getting to know Mitch and Barb. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna.
Thank you, Donna.
You're welcome.
This is a process that we've been working with for only about 2 weeks with the conference.
Not even
that, a week and a half, and a very difficult decision when we received the news of the appointment. But with prayer and discernment, we have made a yes to how we trust God is working through the cabinet. We met with the pastor parish relations team of Harvard Epworth, and they are, just as you all are, a vibrant and wonderful and warm and inviting group of folk, and it will also be a wonderful community to be a part of. And so we are both anticipating wonderful things in a new ministry setting, and we are also mourning 14 years of being part of an amazing group of people that we love.
We're mourning the ending of 14 years. We're not That's mourning right. the 14 no. years.
We celebrate those 14 years. So we are going to have the postlude from Catherine, and then we invite you to exit Facebook and go into Zoom, the Zoom address that is in the comments section that Jeremy has put there. We can answer any questions and talk a little bit about the process that we've all been through for this, us and the good people of Harvard Epworth. So we'll see you in a few minutes on Zoom. If you have to exit and can't be part of the coffee hour, we again call you to go out in love. The love of the God who is creator and redeemer and sustainer now and forever. Amen. Go in peace.
Peace.